Morning. I guess I should start with a confession that as one of the people that don't like snow here, I know that Joanne and Colleen really love snow, and that was, and Luann. And yes, I thought that was very good. And, you know, someone said to me this year that the snow has remained white. Like a lot of times it gets a little dirty and dingy, and it just remained white a long time this year. So that was a good reminder for those of us who don't like snow as much as you do. But thank you for sharing that this morning. I'm not sure how much this is going to change. I made changes this morning I felt I should make. So I think there's three scriptures that I think Dave handed out. I may not use the one. We'll see how we're directed as we go along. Jeremiah 29:13 says, this is God speaking, "You will seek me and find me." And I had to think about that. That's not the whole verse. It's pretty easy to say you'll seek God and find him. But there's a little bit more to that. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That changes the verse quite a bit, doesn't it? And then verse 14 goes on to say, "I will be found by you," the beginning of verse 14. So this morning I had to think, what does it mean to love the Lord with all your heart? And to me, I think that speaks a little bit about intimacy. And so this is supposedly a New Year's message. Here we are over a tenth into the year already, I think. But I think one of the things that God is calling new beginnings to this year, and I think I heard it last week from Mary and Barry a little bit, is that we need to have more intimacy with our Heavenly Father. When the year started, when the year ended, I always think, oh my, another year's gone already. Did anybody else think that? Am I alone in that? Did anyone think, oh my, another year I'm closer to being with my Heavenly Father for all eternity? Do we see the difference? And also we could say, well, another year, Lord, what's the purpose for my life this year? How do you want me to serve you? How do you want me to fulfill the purposes you've given me? And so I think sometimes we have to shift and not look at what we've lost, but look more to the future maybe. Look to where we're going and what does God want us to do before we get there. James 4:8 says, in the NIV it says, "Come near to God and he will come near to you." I think I know that verse better as "draw near to God and he will draw near to you." What's it mean to come near? If I look back there, Justin's way back there. If I want to come near to Justin, how am I doing? Am I coming nearer, Justin? Right. How about now? Am I coming nearer? So if I want to come near to Justin, there's some things I have to do. I have to physically walk towards him to get closer to him. And I think the same way when it comes, if we want a more intimate relationship with our Father, if we want to come nearer to him, it says, draw near to God, and then he will draw near to you. It's in a specific order. So I think we need to start moving towards our Heavenly Father if we want a more intimate relationship. So how do we do that? What are some things we can do for that to happen? And I think that's something that we all would desire to do. So I have seven things this morning, and you can add to this list, but these are just seven things that the Lord put in my heart to share of how we can have a more intimate relationship. The first thing I think is pretty obvious, prayer. If you want to be intimate with somebody, you got to get to know them, you got to talk to them, you got to speak to them. And so we need to make more time for prayer with the Father. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, NIV is really short, "Pray continually." I've learned that as "pray without ceasing." But we should always have God in our mind. And I had to think about that because that's not always easy to do. I often ask the Lord lots of things during the day, even at work. But there's sometimes when you get so caught up in what you're doing and focused on that I'm not really thinking about my Heavenly Father at that time. But I think we need to start living our lives and putting Him first in more things that we think of more often. Not that maybe we're doing it all the time, but He needs to come to the very top of our list. I think God loves to hear from us. Have you ever been angry at God, mad at God? That's okay to share that with God. He wants you to get that off your chest. He wants you to share that.
He knows
how you're feeling. But it's different when we're sharing it. If you had a good day, you want to share that with the Lord. If you had thoughts or feelings throughout the day, the different things, share that with Him. Let Him know how you're feeling. If you have some struggles, let Him know. Your deepest desires, let Him know what those are. And that's one way to communicate. I think He knows all those things, but it's good for us to take the time to do that with Him. And so prayer is speaking to God. But the other part of prayer I have a little bit more trouble with because I talk too much, if you know me, sometimes. If you're talking too much, you don't listen, do you? And an important part of our prayer life needs to be listening to God. And that's really hard for me. I'll take some time to do that. I might be 5 minutes into it, and then my mind will be way over here in something else. I'm thinking, well, how did I get? I can't even keep my mind on my Heavenly Father. And so it's a struggle for me to listen sometimes. But God wants us to be good listeners, too. We need to be hearing Him speaking into our hearts and our lives. We need to be seeking Him out and listening for what He has to tell us. The second thing I have here is, this is pretty obvious, too, I think, read His Word. So what happens when we read this, when we read Scripture? We learn a lot about who God is, don't we? It tells us a lot about God in here. We also, if we read the Gospels, we see God in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, Jesus is talking to His disciples, and Philip is saying, well, show us the Father. They don't know who the Father is. Show us the Father. And Jesus responds to him saying, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. That's verse 9 in chapter 14. And so, through Jesus' life, through what Scripture says, we learn a lot about God. We also learn about what He promises us. I remember years ago, I think it might have been at your house, Barry and Colleen, when you were on the farm. I was in one of my favorite Bible study groups. It had a wide range of people, and Judy and I were married then, so it wasn't real, real long ago, but long enough. But Naomi Smith and Henry Smith were in that group, and Naomi had a book she called The Book of Promises. Whenever she read a promise that God has given us in here, she'd write that down. Do you remember her sharing that? And so there's lots of promises God gives us in here. And so we need to cherish and hold them dear when we come across those. I think that's one of the ways God can communicate with us too, because there's lots of things in here that will shape your life. He shapes our lives and tells us what to do through His Word at times. So a way to be intimate with Him, we need to spend time in His Word. So I had to think of those two things. I'll get into that a little bit later. Let's go into the next one. The third one is worship. Did everybody enjoy our time of worship this morning? It's very meaningful when we spend time worshiping the Lord in song. But I'm opening this up for you to respond now. How else do we worship God? Do you remember the church that the pastor thought they were too involved in worship and just focusing solely on that, and so he took music off the table? I think it was that Matt Redman's church? And he, whoever the worship leader was, wrote the song. What was it? When the Music Fades and All. Right. Yeah. Is that what it was called? Okay. He wrote that song through that time. But what are some other ways we worship? How do you worship God other than singing? I like to sing during the day. Justin.
Our day-to-day work.
Your day-to-day work?
Being obedient.
Being obedient.
The Lord asks you to speak to somebody. I think that's active worship.
Worship. And Colleen said, when you're in nature. Yeah, Judy and I had a chance to see the Swiss Alps one time. And when we were there, it was perfectly clear, which they say is very unusual. There's only one or two times a year, I thought they told us, or maybe a couple times. And just to stand at the base of those mountains and realize that God created that and all the things he created. So yeah, when we get out into nature, we can worship God that way. When we're thinking about them there.
Even in the snow.
Even in the snow, yes. So I think when we worship, what we are doing is expressing our love to him, how much we love him, honor him. Worship is expressing or acknowledging his greatness, how awesome he is, how mighty he is, all the things that he does for us. It's inviting him into our heart, being willing to be obedient to him, and putting him first in our lives. I think those are all ways to worship. But if I would ask you, you know, how do you worship the Lord? I think all of us would probably say music first. Would you agree with that? So I think we need to focus sometimes on other ways we can worship him. The fourth thing I have here, this is, I have walking in the Spirit, which that sounds like cleansing streams. I think maybe everybody here was through cleansing streams. But when we walk in the Spirit, when we become a Christian, the Spirit enters into our lives. We all know this. But walking in the Spirit means that we allow him to take control of our lives. I had to think about some of the songs we sang this morning. Lord, reign in me. That's letting him take control of things. Or we are here for you. We're giving ourselves to him. So walking in the Spirit means allowing him to control your mind. What are your thought? What's your thought life? What are you thinking about? Is God controlling that or not? What do you purpose to do in life? What's your will? Is what you're purposing to do with your life in alignment with what God wants you to do? And our emotions, how do I feel? What are my feelings? Are they centered around God, or is it around sports or other things I like to do here in this earthly realm? So we need to allow the Holy Spirit to take control. And then Galatians 5:22-26. Does somebody have that one? This is very familiar. You all know this. Most of you probably know this by heart. This will reveal. How well you're letting the Holy Spirit control your life.
Galatians 5:22-26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
So if you want to know how well you're doing at submitting to the Holy Spirit, read those verses. Where can you improve? How are you doing in all those things? There's a lot of challenges in those, trying to be all those things. The fifth thing I have, someone have John 14:23-24. You can go ahead and read that.
Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me.
So the fifth thing I have is we need to learn to trust and obey. There's an old song, I remember singing that growing up, a very good song, but trust and obey our Heavenly Father. I think, Luann, you said this as a form of worship, kind of, but do I love God enough to obey his commands, even when it's difficult or when it's something I don't really want to do or feel comfortable doing? Do I trust him enough to be willing to obey? And so as I thought about trust and obey, a good example, I think, from Scripture is found in 1 Samuel chapter 13. And it's the account of Saul and Samuel. And in chapter 13, the Philistines are assembling. They're going to fight Israel. Their massive army is building up. And so Saul was told by Samuel to wait 7 days, and then he was going to come and make sacrifices and give him further instructions. That happened in chapter 10, verse 8. So because this massive army is building up, the men of Israel are fearful, right? You know what happens. They start leaving. They start crawling into the rocks. They start crossing the Jordan. And the army is deserting Saul. And so he's there with what men are left, and they're trembling. They're fearful. And so Samuel isn't here yet, and it's the seventh day. Well, I guess as soon as the seventh day gets there and Samuel's not there, Saul decides to offer the sacrifices himself so the men stop leaving. And then Samuel comes, and you remember what happens. Samuel is not pleased. Samuel is kind of, as a prophet, he was Saul's mouthpiece to the Lord. I mean, the Lord would speak through Samuel to tell Saul, give Saul instructions. That's the way it worked with the prophets. God would often speak through them and give direction through them. And so there's four things I wrote down here that Saul was wrong at. Number one, he didn't really trust in the Lord, did he? He wasn't willing to wait things out and trust God to take care of things. And so he thought that he could take matters into his own hands. And so Samuel wasn't there. He didn't hear anything from God, so he decided he's going to offer these sacrifices. Number three, because he did that, Saul was disobedient. And number four, when he took those matters into his own hands and did what he thought was needed, it shows that he wasn't trusting in his Father at all. So do we ever get to a point in life when we're kind of like that, where everything's going wrong and doesn't seem like God's giving me the answers I need, and so I'm going to take things into my own hands and do it? So if we trust God enough, we'll be willing to wait on him and allow him to work in our lives. A good example of trust, and I know we all heard this before, but on July 15th of 1859, man by the name of Charles Blondin walked backwards across a tightrope over Niagara Falls. When he got to the other side, he took a wheelbarrow and pushed it over Niagara Falls. And the crowd was going wild, and, yay, that's great, great. And he says, well, do you think I'd go across again with a person in a wheelbarrow? Yeah, yeah, you can do that. We know you can. Yeah, yeah. And then he goes, who wants to get in the wheelbarrow? Do you think anybody trusted him enough to get in that wheelbarrow? So sometimes when I think of trust, sometimes I don't go that deep, but that would take a lot of trust to do that. That's the type of trust we need to have in our Heavenly Father, who made everything we see, the Swiss Alps, the beauty of nature. He created all that for us. If he can do that, he can take care of us. But sometimes his plans are different than what my plans are, and so that creates But we just have to learn to trust him and be obedient to him. One of my favorite musicians growing up was Keith Green. I don't know, does everybody here know who Keith Green is? You don't know Keith? He wrote a song that was titled, "To Obey is Better Than Sacrifice." And I think the words, lyrics went something like, "To obey is better than sacrifice. I want hearts of fire, not your words of ice." I think I should have looked them up and written them down. But that song came from 1 Samuel 15. In verse 3 of that chapter, Saul was told to totally destroy the Amalekites. Everything, nothing left. After they were victorious, Samuel came to Saul in a little bit later in the chapter, and he hears sheep bleeding and lots of noise, and he goes, "Saul, what's this I hear? What's going on? Didn't you do what God asked?" And Saul said, "Well, we took some of the best because we wanted to sacrifice it to the Lord." And this is Samuel's response in verse 22. "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings, sacrifices as much as obeying the voice of the Lord?" And this is where Keith Green's song came. It says, "To obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of rams." And so trusting and obeying God is very important if we want to develop an intimate relationship with him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." The sixth thing I have here is R&R. Does someone want to tell me what that would mean?
Rest and relaxation.
We had a mechanic at Hostler's who would, when he made the bill out, he would put R&R carburetor or R&R wheel or R&R cable. Remove and replace. We need to make some more rooms in our lives for our Heavenly Father. And so in the physical realm, sometimes we need to remove something, like maybe it's sleep. Maybe you're going to sleep less. Maybe you'll give up a card night with friends, or maybe you'll decide to get up earlier in the morning. Maybe you'll give up a TV show. And then you'll replace that spending time with the Lord in prayer, reading his word, meditating on him. So we have to remove and replace some things in life. And then in the spiritual realm, I think that this also goes along with it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." So sometimes old habits need to go and new habits need to come. Sometimes things have to change in our life. And as we are removing and replacing things, I think the sixth thing I have is, no, this is the seventh one, this is the last one, is CNC. CNC would be conviction and confession. Okay, I think this is very important because we all know that God hates sin. We all know that God can't be in the presence of sin. So if we want to have a more intimate relationship, God is going to convict you of certain things in your life. And when he convicts you of something, you need to confess and get rid of that. Do your best, work it. And sometimes you might have to do that a couple times. Confessing and changing what you're doing. So the R&R and CNC kind of go together. But conviction and confessing is very, very important to come into the presence of God. To sum it up, Psalms 32, 3 and 5. This is a psalm of David, and confessing leads to intimacy with the Father. So if you have that, someone have that one? Did I not give that one? Psalms 32, 3 and 5. Someone want to read that if you find it?
Are you skipping 4 or including 4?
3 to 5. 3 to 5. Yeah, okay. Sorry.
32, 3 to 5. My sin, my body wasted away, though through my groaning all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and thou did forgive the guilt of my sin.
Okay, that's David dealing with sin in his life. And he needed to do that to regain intimacy. So I want to close this morning by sharing a little bit about a man after God's own heart. Do you know who that is? Who does Scripture call a man after God's own heart? King David, who wrote what Luann just read. In 2 Samuel 12, we all know, this is the hardest thing sometimes for me to understand, what David did with Bathsheba. You know, not only did he sleep with another man's wife, but he had the man killed, basically. He didn't murder him, but he put him in a situation where he knew he was going to be killed. And so in 2 Samuel 12, David confesses his sin with Bathsheba. And then the prophet Nathan tells David the consequences of that sin. And I think one of the things was that there's going to always be a sword in your lifetime and always going to be at war. And the second thing was that the boy was going to die. And so David spends 7 days, puts on sackcloth and fasts, and comes before the Lord and asking him to spare the boy's life. And on the seventh day, the boy dies. And one of the neat things that David said is that his attendants were concerned because he was so despondent, and they didn't want to tell him he died, but he realized he said, did the boy die? And they said, yes. And then he gets up and acts more normal. And they said, well, how comes you're acting like this when you were acting the other way, you know, before he died? And he said, well, I can't bring him back. There's nothing I can do. But he says, I can go to him. So his faith in the Lord knew that he was going to see that boy again someday. And I thought that was just a neat little thing in that whole scripture. And then Psalms 51. We're not going to read the whole Psalms, but Psalms 51 is pretty much David's crying out to the Lord for forgiveness. And I don't know when he wrote this, but it wouldn't surprise me that he would have written this psalm during those 7 days when he was fasting and praying and in sackcloth. I don't know that, but it just seems like that's probably when it would have happened. So in verses 7 to 12, he's praying for cleansing. He's praying that sin would be taken away from him. He's praying for restoration. And the thing that really strikes me that he prayed for, and I think this is the most important thing, he wanted to come into the presence of the Lord again. He had such an intimate relationship with his heavenly Father that even though he had done something horrible beyond what we can comprehend hardly, he wanted to come back into that relationship with the Lord. And he says in verses 7 to 12, I think it ends by him saying, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. He wanted to get back into having an intimacy with his heavenly Father. It shows you what kind of man he was, how important that was. So if you mess up in life, We have to make things right so we can come back into the presence of our Heavenly Father. And I think we all know this. It's just a reminder again that we need to do that. If you did something that's wrong, you need to come before the Heavenly Father and confess that and ask for forgiveness. And when David did, God forgave him. And he did have an intimate relationship with his Heavenly Father, although there were still consequences for what he did probably the rest of his life. And obviously what happened with Absalom happened after this, when Absalom came and David left the throne for a period of time. I want to close with a scripture from Paul. This is from Acts 13, verse 22. Paul is actually preaching the gospel message, but he relates what God said about David in that verse. It says, this is what God said about David, and Paul's just repeating it. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Now, if we put our name there, if we put Deb has found David, or I have found Deb, son of Jesse, or I have found Chuck, son of Jesse, or Mike, or Colleen, or Dave, Justin, can we put our name there, and how would we feel? You know, are we living up to that? And so if we're not, we need to have that intimacy, more intimacy. And so I think a challenge this year for new beginnings is that we would all work at that. We would work at having a closer relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's all I have. I don't have a closing song. Would anybody like to make a comment or a question if the Holy Spirit impressed something on you? This is a very simple illustration, but this is my Hebrews 11. Can you see my?
Yeah.
I was not happy with Heather at all when I found this, but now every time I see that, it reminds me of her. She's forgiven. How many times have you forgiven your children for things much worse than that? And so how much more will God forgive us? I have to memorize the first verse. I can't read it anymore. So, yeah, you treat your children that way. God's much more loving than any of us are, so he's going to treat you that way, too.
You mentioned Psalms 51. Those of us that love Keith Green's music, that's another one of his songs. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and a new
right spirit in me. He really, he changed towards the end of his, before he was killed. He really had a good, I think, heart and relationship with the Lord. And I think we can see that. Yeah, good.
He also sang, want to go back to Egypt.
He also sang, wake up, treasure, sleep in the light.
Yeah, I forgot about that one, yeah. We actually sang one of his songs already in worship. Which one was it now? I can't. Nah, it was a different one. So, any other comments? Thank you, Ephra. So we have a challenge for us, don't we? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence here this morning. I think we all know how important it is to have intimacy with you, Father, and yet it's so easy to get distracted or busy or doing other things that sometimes we neglect that. And so, Father, help us to, each one of us, to do a better job this year of spending that time with you, of putting you first, of listening to your voice, of trusting you and being obedient to what you ask us to do, even when we don't want to, Father. We just pray now that as we would go out into the world, that you would just be with us this week. Help us to be lights where there is darkness. Help us to be truth where there are lies. Help us to have courage instead of fear. And help us to just not be ashamed of you in any aspect of our lives or anything we do. Help us to be willing and bold enough to proclaim your message to those who need to hear it. In your name we pray, amen.